Purpose of the podcast is always to keep it real, right? Because we can, and because in other outlets people aren't keeping it real, they're keeping information and losing you money. So we want to make you money, and I want to make myself money. I don't want to be hypocritical like these athletes and politicians who are disingenuous, right? Mr. Cuomo in New York, the way he's acting, not being ingenuous about the Me Too movement and helping people out. We are, right? So every business meeting has to have a purpose in and out. So the purpose is to make me money, to make you money. And the outcome has been, and tonight on the podcast, we got a witness. Man, we finished, I got to finish the total, but 52.5% is break even. I finished 13-1. College basketball conference tournament, right? So my bankroll is nice and fat heading to the NCAA tournament, right? And then if you listen to the last four or five podcasts, you learn the whys, right? So that's your purpose and your outcome. And today we have the greatness of South Missouri State University, right? Multiple CIF champion. Right now he's in Menifee. CFL, you will see him on an NFL roster in the upcoming summer. Man, the man runs a 4.39, man. I can only run that in my dreams. And it is his younger brother is the starting quarterback for your, and I got the head on, Oregon State Beavers.
Beaver Nation.
Yes. They're headed for a great season and a bowl game. So, man, great things happening in the Nolan family. Thank you for joining us, Chad Nolan.
Man, happy to be here. Happy to be here, Josh.
Now, tell us the story before we get rolling here on giving people the strategy for the NCAA tournament and games we're looking at. And then during, no need for anybody to pay for picks. We'll have all our picks on Twitter, and we're going to have a great time with everyone. Tell us the story how you came across the podcast.
So, you know, pandemic and everything going on, I was, you know, looking for any way to kind of make some money, find an edge. I actually, ended up gambling all the ways you're not supposed to, that everything this podcast teaches you not to do, I was doing, and, had lost a little bit of money. And I actually was sick with COVID in my room for a couple of days. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to hop on and start searching for podcasts and try to learn and figure out, you know, how to do this the right way. And, you know, there's a percentage of people that are profitable doing this. And, you know, I wanted to find that knowledge and information. I stumbled across Josh's podcast, and I think it was NFL stuff they were talking about. And I was just listening and listening to the way he approached it, business minded and, you know, betting the same amount on every game versus just parlays and changing the amounts and stuff like that. And yeah, it was just an awesome thing that came to be. And here we are.
Right. Cause we made a lot of money, right? We made a lot of money during the NFL season and in the college bowl season. It is not gambling. It's using business and financial concepts and common sense. Also, common sense plays a role. So the definition of common sense is knowledge you do not have to have a college degree for to be able to process, but you're not getting that on major media. We're giving you that here. And now we have almost insider information with a professional athlete as we look at these games. And I want to get the business stuff out of the way before we get into the nuts and bolts of the tournament, I like to talk about the value equation, which is going to be different in this tournament, right? So the value equation is psychological factors divided by time and money are the real definition of value. You're going to hear a lot of chasers out there talking about betting on these games and saying, oh, this game has a lot of value, right? Why? Why does this game have value? And really, value is being able to monetize it. And for us, is living between those margins of 52.5%, right? So when I go 13-1, that's almost 90%. So between 90% and 52.5 is compound interest, but you have to do it consistently, right? And I have the securities book here. I ripped the page out and I have it in my day planner where we had the arbitrage, right? So arbitrage is a systematic buying and selling of securities to take advantage of market inefficiencies. Now, a guy like Chad Nolan and I can spot inefficiencies, right? Lines that we'll tell you about that we think are a little bit inflated. And then the market manipulation from your ESPNs, your bracketologists, right? So as we go through these games, as we give you the why, the strategy, how to bet the NCAA, look at that arbitrage. We're going to bet every single game. There's going to be 16 games on Thursday. There's going to be, or now it's changed, right? So now it's going to be Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, we got four games Thursday and then 16 Friday, 16 Saturday.
Right. So what arbitrage does is, because of our knowledge, because we got a multiple CIF champion, CFL player, a professional athlete, we can spot market inefficiencies. And betting so many games, we can monetize that and get that margin way over 52.5%, right? The fighter, the Italian fighter pilot, who turned into a GE engineer in patented plastics in Alps South, a prosthetics company, used to tell me, Josh, I make prosthetics for 50 cents and sell them for $4,000 to a hospital. So the most important part in business is margin, right? So we're working that margin above 52.5% and 63, but we go back to the value equation. And the reason the NCAA has so much value to me is because of the psychological factor, man. Great games, great coaches, right? And we were talking earlier with Chad and his brother, those crazy three-pointers at the end of the game, right? And since we're betting 16 games, if we lose one game because of bad luck, the 20% luck factor, using probability theory, we're not upset about it. We're laughing, we're having good times, we're messaging back and forth, texting back and forth, right?
We're worried about the long
term. On all that, man. And people that get it. People that don't, never will. And man, Chad's got it.
Get rich.
What are your thoughts in processing that?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's a get rich slow scheme. It's you know, finding the market inefficiencies, being consistent in our thinking, and just you know, breaking it down and making sure we're always doing our research, never betting on teams we haven't seen play, you know, staying away from the parlays, you know, just the 10 rules of betting and all the, you know, all those factors are crucial to building your bankroll. And, you know, that was the biggest thing about finding you was I knew there was a right way to do this. I knew that my, you know, playing football, basketball, and baseball, my whole, you know, through my senior high school, going to 3SAF championships, playing into being a college athlete, being a professional athlete, I knew that this was something I'd been around my whole life, and that, you know, if anyone could be successful at it, you know, I should be able to. And then attaching that with your knowledge just was able to help me get to like that next level, you know, where we are now. And just trying to keep this streak going from, you know, this Friday, my Friday, Saturday, it was a 21-4 Friday, Saturday.
Nice.
So yeah, I was able, you know, build that bankroll really, really nice going into this tournament, you know, which was exactly my goal. And I set out to do that by the end of the conference tournaments, and we did that, and here we are, and now I got a nice bankroll going in to this tournament that I want to keep growing with that ROI that we consistently do.
Right. No, and part of the reason that I started the podcast and was really excited about adding value to people with the podcast is being able to teach things that aren't being taught out there. People aren't giving people a very detailed manual strategy and approach to monetize it. People give the hows and the whys, but don't get into the details so people are successful. We want people to be successful. And it's almost like Wall Street Bets, where we're giving away the information. And we're the only podcast out there that isn't tied to a casino. What we want to do is help the people enjoy and be able to monetize the games. And you hit on two things, right? One thing is my clients, because they do have a business consulting firm, and I hate to call it that because 80% of business consultants have absolutely no idea what they're talking about, but I don't let any of my clients use try. So we're going to monetize at the NCAA tournament. And then the other part of it is that people get wrong is that they talk about revenue, and revenue is not, and I'm in so many corporate meetings, so many meetings in general where you know, people say, well, the revenue is going to be XYZ. And I'm like, I don't care. What I care about is profit and free cash flow, which actually Shark Tank's really good about that. About saying, hey, what's important in a business is that free cash flow. And for us, our free cash flow is that margin between 52.5 and what we, you know, consistently get. The other one is return on investment. You have to be able to manage your bankroll and keep track of your bankroll so you get that ROI, that return on investment. That man, talking to Chad, yours is in, I did the math real quick because I liked it, 350%, which is Wall Street Bet stuff what people are clamoring about. Your thoughts on that, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, it is, it's definitely a, one thing that you said on an earlier podcast that really caught my attention, especially with, you know, what's happened with the GameStop and Robinhood and, you know, those apps stopping you from being able to trade certain stocks. So the hedge funds automatically win and there's no free market or anything like that. You know, in this market, you don't have to worry about anything like that. This market is more open and more fair. And if you really, really break down and compare it to the stock market, there is more value here, you know, and I see that and truly believe that. And my bankroll says that. So
absolutely. And it's not as esoteric. I think I was engaged, you know, 30 years ago to this girl who dad ran a hedge fund, the Colorado State Pension Fund. And he used to, before investing in a company, he used to actually go to the company, right, and talk to the people and shake their hands and so on and so forth. With sports betting, man, you've been there. You've seen the players. You've seen the coaches. You've seen the systems, right? Yeah. And you can use that knowledge to extrapolate that into what you're seeing. And you're either – it's a binary choice in a lot of ways. You're either right or you're wrong. You figure out why, and, man, you take advantage of that. I think that's huge. That's a huge advantage of the sports betting market versus the securities markets, where the hedge funds have so much leverage and it's more legit. Actually, the broker dealer in this case, which are the bookie and the sports books, they're more honest and they're more legit than what goes on with some funny numbers that they do in accounting and a lot of shady stuff that I learned in the financial services interest. So it's a more cleaner, more honest market than the securities market, which is sad, but hopefully, well, who knows? Who knows what's gonna happen? Because a lot of people say, well, the sports betting market is gonna be regulated. I don't know, I don't know so much. I know it's 50-50 in the Senate. There's a lot of conservative influence. So the sports betting market might not be as regulated as we think, or as we think the SEC should regulate financial markets or securities markets. With that being said, the Denver Broncos got $20 million from DraftKings. And there's been several, there's going to be sports betting inside the Mets stadium, right? So there's a lot of synergies and collusions, right? That wouldn't meet the standards for securities, which is fine with us because we use arbitrage, right? And arbitrage means that you're taking advantage of market inefficiency. So when we see an inefficiency like that, we can leverage it. It makes it a lot of fun. So what region, as because the number one thing, right, with when you look at strategy at betting for the NCAA tournament, listen to my last four podcasts, right? We talked about the coaches, because you can't just roll in to Vegas, and we've seen it, right? Can't just roll into Vegas without doing any research, without knowing what's going on, and just start picking teams, start picking parlays.
or roll onto your betting app and start clicking away.
Right.
in modern day.
Right. You're sitting on your couch, rolling away, clicking. I remember a
Favorite over.
Exactly. But we monetize that, going the other way, seeing these lines inflate. It was almost like a Breaking Bad situation where this guy had lost $9,000 betting and he owed whoever like $10,000 and he had $6,000 left. And he saw me and my buddy winning. He came up to us. And I'm glad, you know, part of it is like, I'm glad that I looked approachable. So I was thinking about that. I'm like, this guy just comes up to me and says, hey, man, here's $6,000. Please start betting for me.
Man.
Hey, we got him back up to the, we got him more than that. We got him about $20,000. He owed 18. Well, no, between what he owed and what he was down was 18. So we got him back. Never knew what happened to that guy, but we got him back. But you don't want to be in that situation like him. He was just betting favorites and overs, doing crazy bets. I remember that I think he was in front of our line, and it was Louisville minus 12 against Morehead State. And that was the year Morehead State had the rebound guy. Forgot his name, but he's the rebound guy that used to be on Denver for many, many years. Now he's with Miami. And we had Morehead State plus 12 because we knew that was an inflated line. So let's do the same this year. Which region do you want to tackle first?
We can start up in that West and the Gonzaga, the top left region.
All right. We'll look at the West. What hits me right away is that you always want to look at the 4-13 line and then the
5-12.
And man, you were telling me about the University of Ohio.
Yeah, we like both of those games.
And then Virginia's having a lot of problems with COVID-19.
Yeah, no doubt. I think Ohio has a very, very, very strong chance to win that game outright. So with the points, it's definitely a good look. I mean, I think Ohio has definitely potential to get to the Sweet 16 with their bracket. Yeah, and then also Virginia having massive COVID issues. They might have some guys out. Team might not even be full strength. So that's also another plus for Ohio.
Right. And then you look at the value equation too. In bowl season and NCAAs, for some reason, it always comes into play, the time factor, right? Psychological factors plus functional divided by time and money. You look at the travel and Virginia having problems getting into Indiana, not being, you know, COVID-19 issues with the dysfunction, and Ohio being right there in that region, being more organized, man, they have an edge. And plus you've played. So that's the one good thing is listening to your opinion, man. You have a legit opinion. So when you're saying this dude can play, you know he can play, right? Multiple CIS champion, you're a professional player. You're there in camp, you're watching guys, watching guys training. You know who can play. You know who's a player.
Yeah, and Ohio has a lottery pick point guard. He's legit.
Right. And then Virginia, people love to play overs. They just, especially, I remember this really old rich lady. Again, I feel glad that I could see, I was approachable. I look approachable. She just hands us 10 grand. She goes, hey, just bet all the overs for me. And keep the drink tickets. Yeah, and just bet all the take the 10 grand to the table and give me all over tickets, and you guys keep the drink tickets. I'm like, all right, cool. In Virginia, those games notoriously go under. So I wait for the Virginia line to go up and pick the under almost every time and win against Ohio, 4-13, and then the 5-12. Now, strategy-wise, you want to be judicious in pulling the trigger on the money line underdog. Because you like that Ohio underdog. So what I would do, let's say I'm betting $1,000 a game. I would put $1,000 on Ohio, and then I would put $250 on the money line Ohio, if you're feeling it, right? Because you're feeling that Ohio money line.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'd approach it. You don't want to go crazy. We talked about that just the other
day. I'll approach it the same way. My units are about $100, so I would probably put, about $100, my normal on Ohio with the points, and then I'd throw about $25 down on that money line. Plus, you get about plus $250, I think, somewhere.
Yeah, I'll work on that $100. It's the same thing. It's the same multiples. The same percentages. The percentage is more important than the actual number. Right. So you want to get over that 52.5%, and then I look at the plus number as a bonus, right? Where you hit a plus 235. Sometimes you'll hit a plus 500, but you want to minimize that, right? Because you want your percentage to be as high as possible. So you get those psychological factors in the value where you're enjoying, you're laughing the game, whether you win or lose. Creighton, UCSB. And historically, right, it hasn't changed, right? I talked about it the first year in the podcast, second year, haven't talked about it as much, but I'm going to start tapping into that, right? Because my wife's a psychotherapist, and 95% of people aren't capable of change, right? Obviously, that percentage goes higher. People who want to change, I'm putting the effort to change, but 95% of people can't change. And that East Coast bias has not changed. Nope. The 12 years that I've been putting money on games, and that UCSB line would be a line that you bet UCSB, and even if you think you can win on the money line, that's going to be some really good number because UCSB is a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're even as good or better than Creighton. And all these East Coast bias, East Coast people would think I'm nuts. Oh, Creighton almost won the Big East regular season title. They tied for it and blah, blah, blah. Creighton won two teams in the Big East. So it's a Big East team that's being pumped by FS1, being pumped by ESPN against UCSB. And what's the line on that game?
That line is 6.5 is what it opened up, what I have originally. I don't know if it's shifted slightly, but right, plus 6.5 UCSB.
Yeah, so I would take that plus 7 UCSB and maybe even bet it again if it goes higher. Yeah, that's going to be the 19th game, so that's a Friday game. That's the other strategy, right? You're going to look at games you think –
It's a Saturday game, Josh. That'll be Saturday. The UCSB. Oh, that'll be Saturday? Yeah. So it looks like the South and the Midwest region are Friday. Then our West and our East are Saturday.
Okay. So you want to wait on that money to come in Crane.
Also, one thing, too, I do think I think the Big East as a conference is a little bit down this year. I mean, the way Georgetown was able to run through with Villanova with some injuries. I don't know. I think if you really look at Big East, just the Big East as a conference, I think of the Power 5 or 6 it is in basketball, I'd say they're on the bottom 5 or 6, I think that's a big thing we can look at too, is I think like certain conferences like are overranked than others, like the Big East might, you know, with Creighton and a couple of teams, they might have a little bit more, be overvalued, just not being that good of a conference in general. And then also too, we talked about the venues. The venues of all these games, you know, are going to be played at a lot of different arenas around the Indianapolis area. So, you know, that will have a big effect. So we talked about the Creighton and USB game being a possible under, or maybe that first half under, with Creighton being a jump shooting team. That game's taking place in Lucas Oil Stadium, a cavernous, you know, arena, tough shooting backdrop for a shooting team like Creighton. Also, you know, NCAA tournament, both these teams, those jitters of the big dance, you know, maybe, you know, not have a great first half shooting, you know, that first half under gives you a little bit safer of a bet, you know, not worrying about a team heating up in the second half or overtime.
Right. 100%. 100%. That's great analysis for the people. And looking at those games at Lucas Oil, it's going to be interesting because they're going to stay in Indiana the whole time. So, and the other thing I've noticed is one line is that a big lie in all the markets is that that's why the word inefficiency is important, right? I think in the financial markets, people are seeing it and they're not reporting on it as much as they should. But big argument between a market being rational and a market being irrational. A market being rational means that something happens and it reacts to it. The fact that a Lucas Oil, seven games in a row at Lucas Oil Stadium go under doesn't mean that the bookmakers are necessarily going to adjust to it. You can write it. Iona, they did not adjust to Iona four nights. And we rolled through covering Iona four straight times. And actually, the adjustments have been less. I don't know if they're afraid that since sports betting has been legalized in 42 entities, that they are going to, and that's why knowing things, right, helps you monetize inefficiencies. Because if they're now afraid, right, of moving the lines because they've lied saying that they moved the line based on where the bets were coming from, and they're not adjusting lines now, we can monetize that by tracking. That's why tracking is so important. Mm-hmm. USC's been overhyped. We love Mobley. He's from your area, right? Mobley's from that Temecula.
Yeah, he's from Marietta. Yeah. So my dad actually, he started a junior All-American football chapter in Marietta when I was in fifth grade. Wow. So played through that, and all my brothers played through that. So yeah, my dad coached my little brother, the one that's at Oregon State, the quarterback, and Evan and his brother Isaiah, both the Mobley brothers, were on that team. So
in a way, you can't bet those games because you're biased towards the Mobley family.
Yeah, you know, good reason. I am biased, and I think I've overcompensated for that bias and faded USC too much, and actually lost.
I remember you messaging me a few times. You're like, "Hey, USC minus 7." I'm like, "Are you kidding? They're like a defensive team. It's going to be a close game."
Yeah,
right. And I knew there was something going on with USC. They're going to be suspect against probably Wichita State.
You never bet your
because I love Drake.
Yeah. I've
never bet your team, right?
I did see that Drake is getting their guard Hemphill. He is back and he is ready to go and is scheduled to play. So that kind of leans with that information. I think Drake might be the stronger team there. I mean, we need to do a little bit more research, but that's
a right, big because, you know, I'm biased towards Wichita State because they're in the AAC. Mm-hmm. And I want the AAC to do well because where I graduated from University of South from there. They only got two teams in the tournament. They got shafted. Cincinnati and Memphis are better than a lot of teams in there.
Yeah.
So that's a game we'll do more research on. Now, Kansas, I always laugh with my buddy Victor from Arizona that we had the ridiculous trip. We had like 95% of the games right. We're doing some ridiculous parlays and we're getting in. We made so much money off that tournament. But we're laughing because, and it's funny when people see you do these two gorgeous girls just coming at us, you know, talking to us. And we remember the one girl saying, man, she was going to take our tickets up there or our money up there to get our tickets. And she's like, oh, yeah, this one's easy. She goes, Bill Self can't cover worse shit. So it was like the hot girl saying this. And it's true. When you get into the NCAA tournament, Kansas, and I have a Kansas shirt just for that reason, Kansas cannot cover, man. So
yeah, they're laying 11 points.
Yeah.
Eastern Washington is a team that does have some pretty high upside as well. So, yeah, I mean, plus 11 with Eastern Washington does look pretty good.
Yeah, so I always traditionally bet against Bill Self. And, again, this is a great lesson because that's Kansas is a classic inflated line.
Yeah.
And he's won a national title. He's a Hall of Fame coach. You can't argue with his success other than he did got caught up in the FBI scandal giving guys $100,000 for Nike. They didn't give you $100,000, right? And a Nike elbow boat to go to South Missouri State, right?
No.
So he got caught doing that, but he's a great recruiter. He didn't need to do that. He was a Hall of Fame coach without doing that, but classic in the NCAA tournament. It's almost traditional. It's almost like Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, and Christmas free.
Yeah.
Betting the plus number against Bill Self. And that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, man.
Yeah, but that's one you want to stay off the money. Stay off the money in there. We're just going to take the points because Kansas is going to win the game, but
exactly.
It should cover that line.
Well, because it's Bill Self. I mean, game is tied. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's going to call timeout. He's going to call a Hall of Fame play coming out of the huddle, right? It's Bill Self.
Exactly.
They'll win the game, but they're not going to cover, especially first or second round. Bill Self does not cover spread ever. Like that hot girl said in Vegas, Bill Self does not cover shit. And so we see people jumping in on Periscope. Anybody has a question, let me know. It's great the chat's on here because then I can look at the chat and people having questions. So, yeah, this is a lot of fun. Oregon VCU is going to be a great game. The Iowa Green Canyon is going to be a great game.
What are you thinking in that one, Josh? Are you liking Grand Canyon with the points?
I got to watch Grand Canyon again. I really like their attitude, so I'm sort of biased. And we're all biased against those underdogs, right? Because we've all been underdogs. And been
we all want the underdogs to win in our heart. Yeah, that's
right. And in a way, I don't believe in that because it's marginal utility, right? The whole story of Djokovic, tennis player, who before he became number one in the world, he improved his stroke percentage by 0.5%. So when you're in that high level, man, you're on that level, Chad. It's just one break, man, one tiny thing between the number one team in the NCAA and the 100th team in the NCAA. The 100th team in the NCAA can come together, an NIT team or team didn't even make the tournament, they can come together and they can beat the best team. And it's like us or like me, I was marginal, right? I was on an upper level high school team, but the only reason I got on the court was because I knew the plays. I was fundamentally sound, hustle, you know, had respect to the players. But I would guard Bill Thiel, who ended up being in the NBA. And the only reason I would get a stop is because I watched his hips, right? And I knew where his hips were going, and I could, boom, get ahead of them, hustle, get my feet in front, get the charge call, right? You know? So we know that teams that are, like, that play as a team and that kind of get that edge, they can come in and they can win and go far. Loyola Chicago is an example of that. They got to the Sweet 16 or the final George Mason Final 14. With Larinaga, who was at Miami, with the high school basketball teammate of mine, Pat Lawrence. All right, so we'll go to region East.
East, yep, let's get it. I think one thing that jumps at me right away with that one seed Michigan is, you know, they kind of peaked earlier in the season. They seem to be cooling off, and Isaiah Livers, their best guard, is out for the tourney with a stress fracture in his foot. So, you know, they'll get by, obviously, the winner of St. Mary's in Texas. But second round, you know, I like LSU. I think LSU gets St. Bonnie. We talked about that LSU money line. But maybe even, again, I think if Michigan is a heavier favorite in that second game, I think we probably look to fade them, not having Isaiah Livers.
No, and I'm going to do my research, too, on Texas Southern for that game, watch him play. Michigan has an NBA team. It's funny how these big schools get, you know, when I say they're an NBA team, they're NBA talent. For me, back in the day was UNLV, man, when they had Larry Johnson, Stacey Ong. This is before your time. This is probably before you were born. And you can tell that these guys have NBA teams. So Wagner, a couple guys they have in there. One guy looks like Sorbonis.
Yeah, Hunter Dickinson. The team they
have. He can get that talent because he's an assistant coach in the NBA forever. And he's telling him, hey, you need XYZ to get in the NBA, I'll train you. Meanwhile, spend a year here with us at Michigan, right? So he has elite talent. You're right about that guard. LSU, you're right. They're the NBA team in a way because they're getting that $100,000 from Nike that was in the NBA scandal. Yeah, so that's going to be a great game, Michigan and LSU. A lot of great talent on the floor. Colorado, Georgetown screams the under. One thing, you know, talking about change, right? So when somebody changes, really dynamic. The coach of Colorado, I saw him change this year. He was a guy that usually would come out strong, just run his team to death, and his team would be in fumes. I think, and I had a great client. I had because diversity is important, right? I'm the head of the diversity council in Orange County. And teams that are diverse or whatever make 45% more free cash flow. But I had a great, he's like a cattle farmer in South Dakota. And I don't know how he got referred to me, but I'm helping him with some business stuff. And I was giving him wisdom. He was giving me wisdom. And we got on the subject of change. He was like, Josh, people don't change unless they have to. And the coach of Colorado, I think, got himself in a little bit of trouble with, you know, him. I don't think he was choking a player, but it was something like that, right, where he was getting physical with a player and he was about to get fired. So this year I saw him, you know, chest bumping players, high-fiving players, and I don't think he was running the team to death as much. I think that was a problem, too, where he was having excessive practices. So Colorado did really well at McKinley Wright, because McKinley Wright seems like a hard-ass anyways. He wouldn't mind that. You know, some guys are hard-asses. They don't mind that. And McKinley Wright and then Colorado looked fresh at the end of the year. They looked a lot better than they normally do, even though they got beat in the Pac-12 tournament against Georgetown, and Georgetown's on a roll. They're hot.
Yeah. I think that game, too, I think you wait. Colorado's a Saturday game. I think you wait right before tip, because I think Georgetown, like, they're hot and they seem to be a really public dog. The public's kind of hot on the Big East. You know, the media seems to be hyping Georgetown up, you know, and like the media and everybody kind of knows that 5-12, 4-13, that's a statistic, you know, 25, 1-4 are going to cover. So, you know, one of the four, you know, you're going to find some public dogs in that 4-13, 5-12 range.
Right.
And I think that Georgetown is going to be that public dog. And I think that like the East Coast bias you talked about earlier, that's a thing. The Pac-12, I think, kind of doesn't get that respect compared to the, right. I think the Pac-12 is a better conference than the Big East in general. Right. So I think that line comes down, and at, you know, that five it's at, I think we can get Colorado at 4 or 3 before the game. So I think that's when you would want to wait on, and that line should come down for you.
100%. I hate the East Coast bias, right? So we get to monetize it. Monetizing the East Coast bias.
Yes, sir.
Michigan State, UCLA, you know, being born in LA, being back in Southern California now, 13 years, you get a lot of UCLA, and I like Michigan State and Izzo. Even you know, as an Izzo fan, Izzo, my buddy from Arizona, we always laugh. We always say that Izzo, Calipari, and Patino. That's where I have the two Calipari boys have made us more money than presents we've gotten from 80% of our family. So I have that dopamine center in my mind with Tom Izzo, but he has a lot of great athletes, not great basketball player. He only has like one basketball player, right? Guy that's kind of fluid, you know, isn't all stiff, has a nice shot, which is Langsford. Everybody else is like an athlete. They run, they jump, they're big, you know. It's almost like in football, like your brother Chase, he's a passer. He can run, though. He can get out of the pocket. He can run. He can give you the first down. The three first down. I know you heard that. Me say that in football. Three first down with your legs, you win 70% of your games.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Chase can do that, right? I think I've seen him run a couple times.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He'll I think he could push 1,000 yards rushing this coming season. He's got that kind of he's got legit, you know, sub 4.60 laser speed, definitely.
But then you have guys like Nick Marshall, right? That Auburn went to the national champion with Auburn. He was a thrower. He throws it at you. He doesn't pass it. He runs, right? Cam Newton, I think he's always pretty much done both, but he's more of a thrower. Lamar Jackson learning how to pass. He was a thrower in college. He threw it at you. Same thing in basketball. You have guys that are athletes who can jump at a gym, knock the ball out. But they're not fluid basketball players. That's the thing about Mobley. Mobley is both. He's a fluid basketball player. Yeah. He has the basketball skills like Akeem Olajuwon. But he plays. He's a strong, big guy. He can play really tough, strong defense. Michigan State has just athletes and not a lot of basketball players. UCLA has only one guy that can stand in there is Cody Riley. So if Cody Riley ankle is right and he comes to play, that's going to give UCLA a chance. But if he doesn't, UCLA is going to get bullied around. Etienne is really a high school guy coming in there. And, you know, in UCLA's defense, they've lost like four guys. So look for Michigan State to win that game. On the money line, I think that's the game I picked first.
Yeah, that's a money. That's like -2, money line for sure.
Yeah, because you never know. And then against BYU.
Oh, yeah, one cork, too, just to throw out there for the listeners. I forget what game. I think it might have been the St. Mary's NIT game, but something to look at. Like, the money line was -135, I think. And I was actually able to, the line was 1.5. I was actually able to buy a point and get -0.5 for -125. So I got, instead of -135 at money line, I got -0.5 point, which is the same thing as money line for -120. So I was able to save. Interesting thing you can look at, maybe save yourself, you know, $5-$10, you know, but in the long run, it'll always add up.
100%. So just like knowing who's going to win the game, who the better players is. Math is 50% as important as that. They're equal importance. The same you can throw in is money management. That's brilliant. That's perfect to look at that because money management is vital, right, to getting that margin between that 52.5% and when you want to get 70, 80%. Building that margin of the compound interest, money management is 100% important on that. And the best money management tool we have is betting equal amounts on each game. Because what do you do with that? You neutralize the luck factor. Because you could be somebody with good money management could actually be at 40% and make more money than somebody who's at 55%, right? Because the guy at 40% is betting equal amounts in each game. And then it's hitting a few money lines or the right money lines as a plus number. And he ends up making more money than the guy who's at 55%, who's putting $1,000 on one game and then 50 on another and creating too many variables. Because remember in finance, to ensure a result and for us to make money, you eliminate as many variables as possible, right? And consistency really helps too with the psychological factor, because you're not overtaxing your brain too much either. You're keeping it to a few vital, you know, we talked about it before, the 80-20 rule, the Marines use it, the vital few and the trivial many. You're sticking to the vital points. They're going to help you monetize things. Insulated lines. I think you were talking today, a team we're going to research is Abilene Christian. They're playing Texas. That's going to be an interesting game. The Southland Conferences, whatever it is about, maybe it's crawfish or whatever it is in that area, East Texas, Louisiana area, they just breed players like crazy. Those teams cover, man. The Abilene Christian is around that area. Watch out. Stephen F. Austin, man. Stephen F. Austin used to win a lot of games in the tournament. They're in that South Conference.
They're getting 9 points, too.
Thing that we might have a difference of opinion on is the Baylor Bears. I do not think the Baylor Bears are that good. I think they're overhyped. And for fun, I'd probably put a little money line on either Wisconsin or North Carolina in the second round against Baylor. I think they're going to have an easy time against Hartford. What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely think Baylor is, they're talked about so much and everyone's had them in their championship and Final Four that it's easy for sports talk shows to just, you know, find, like, we got to talk about Baylor or just talk about Baylor because that's what everyone else is doing. And then, you know, we want to be relevant like everyone else. So yeah, I definitely think Baylor is overhyped. Like we have talked about before, they are better offensively than we've seen them in the past.
Which
you know, could bode well for them in the long run. I think the first round, I think, you know, 26 and a half is a giant number, but I do think Baylor, I mean, we've seen Hartford and they're not very good.
They're not good.
So I don't know how you could take a team that is that bad. I think Baylor is has to be the play. And then, that's a very interesting game. I kind of hope North Carolina wins. I think North Carolina has a little better shot to knock them off just because they're so big and athletic. I mean, they look like a freaking NBA team out there.
Right. Wisconsin has a great coach, man. In Wisconsin, you know, from the tank days and before, they went to the Final Four with Tony Bennett's dad back in the day. They went to the Final Four a few times with
Minsky.
And the guy's going to game plan for North Carolina. So I think that game's going to be close. North Carolina gets out of there. I'm going to be picking North Carolina over Baylor.
Yeah, I expect they're getting some points.
Right. So it'll be $100 on North Carolina and the points, and then $25 on the money line. I would do that's the kind of ratio I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Winthrop, Villanova. For whatever reason, I got to see where Winthrop is. I think they're in Oklahoma, but since the days they had the guy who just got fired at Wichita State, but that coach used to get Winthrop in the NCAA tournament, and Winthrop used to win one or two games in the NCAA tournament. For some reason, Winthrop is always good. They're good this year. And Villanova's missing their guard. So, and that's at 5-12 again, right? So, a lot of people are looking at that. So, like you're saying, it could be a lot of public dogs wrongly inflated.
Yeah.
You have to do number two rule of betting is always do your research.
Yeah, and Villanova is only -6. So, I do think – I mean, they are injured and stuff like that. So we may be looking at maybe a little bit of like they're over adjusting and like and Winthrop could be a public dog. And with the injuries to Villanova, that line might even be just a little low with, I mean, just the talent discrepancy there with between those two teams.
Right. And then coaching too. You got a guy who's won three national titles and man,
oh, yeah.
He's obsessed. He's very detail oriented. So when you look at a guy like him, how well dressed he is with those $1,000 Italian suits, man, he's very. Funny, I get texts and people are like, man, he must be a connected guy. But he's making millions of dollars. But he's very detail oriented. That's what makes him such a great coach.
And hey, I want to
cover this line with all this time that he has to prepare.
Yeah. I just wanted to circle back one game that on that East bracket, the bottom, the Alabama Iona we had talked about.
Oh, that's great. That's our game.
Yeah, we had talked about Alabama probably being a pretty heavy public favorite, and that line's gonna go up. That's one we're looking at to let that get bet up and come back in on Iona, plus 18-19, as high as we can get it.
Right.
And then also another angle.
Well dressed. $1,000 suit. He'll have a $1,000 suit there in Indiana.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino, very, very detail oriented, right, against Alabama.
Yeah. Also, something I was looking at today, although Iona is a huge under team, and we saw the under hit, I think, every single game of their tournament run.
Right.
I do think that the 147 number there, for Bama game, that's pretty low. It's kind of a pace war between the two teams. But if Bama is winning and they're up 10 points and they get a lead, Pitino and Iona is not going to be able to slow it down and play that game. They're going to be forced to speed up with a deficit. So I think in the overplay in that game, based off of that, is a good factor. The line is huge, 18-19. So that's telling us it's going to be a lopsided game. And when you get a lead from Alabama, Iona will be forced to run it up and gun it up and try to cut the lead and do that. And it won't allow Pitino and those unders we saw in the conference tournaments. So I think that's a good overlook in that game.
Yeah. What's the money line on that?
Iona money line?
Yeah. Just out of curiosity.
Man, I don't even know. And honestly, the app I'm using, it doesn't, when spreads are that lopsided, it doesn't even give me a money line.
Yeah. Let's see if I can find it. Because games like this, and it's irrational, right? But if you have a guy like Pitino, right? If something's going down and it's late, 5 minutes left in the second half, and Iona is tied or close, you might get into a situation where Alabama panics. I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but that's something to look at if Alabama is panicking, or if it's the second half and you see them kind of discombobulated, that's where you might look at an in-game betting, because the in-game betting might not adjust. You might get Iona at plus 1,000 or something.
Yeah. I think the live betting too, you should always be keeping up on. And I think especially if you like a team or you're on a team and they're kind of getting a little bit down in the beginning, but you are strong on them, I think it's always good to find that. Like, for instance, Ohio State was getting blown out by Illinois early in that game. And I think one of my friends got Ohio State at plus 15 or something insane, and then they came back and it was close all game. It's like that bet was in the bank right when he put it in. It was, I love plus 6.5 Ohio State. You see plus 15 just because they're down early in the first half and they're a good team, You can definitely find huge value in that.
No, and there's just certain teams. I know Florida used to be that way with Billy Donovan. VCU's like that. Texas is like that. They have that that strategy of trying to wear down the other team. So when they're trying to wear down the other team, they are they'll go down early in the game, right? And the other team scoring points, this and that, but their whole thing is to wear down the other team. So they want to come back. So they don't adjust for that. So that's an inefficiency in the market, right? Mm-hmm. That you take advantage, because the line makers, they don't adjust for that. And they give you a better number. So if, let's say, you know, Florida's strategy is to wear down the team they're playing, and it's plus six Florida, the line, the other team jumps out and they're beating him 27-10. Boom, coach calls timeout. You go to your betting app and you're like, oh, Florida's now plus 21. And you know they're coming back. You might not even win the game. Bam, you're getting a good number. So that's what you're saying.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. I'm looking up that Iona line. So.
Yeah, also, too, I think another good point.
Yeah, that's pretty much the South. I like Arkansas Colgate would be interesting. That's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, that's one where we were talking about earlier. We think the media, Colgate's getting a little hyped up as, you know, it's that 4-13 matchup, you know, or 3-14 matchup. Or actually, no, we were talking about 4-13, so that's not in that. But, yeah, I mean, if Arkansas gets betting, I mean, I think Arkansas can cover the 9. It's at now 9.5. But if they get down to 8 or 7.5, I mean, I think Arkansas is the way to go. And I definitely think you wait, because I think the media is hyping up Colgate just a little too much.
And if Colgate's in it at halftime, that's a game you can look in-game betting. You're going to get a really good Arkansas line.
Yep. Yeah, also, too, with the in-game betting, you made a great point, too. Like, if you're looking at bets and you don't get a bet in, you know, it's always, like, don't panic that you didn't get it in pregame. I mean, almost I'd say 85% of the time at some point in the game, you can probably find a line better than the original line.
Right.
You know, it's always something to look at. If you like something before the game and the game, you get to see a little research of how the game's going, you know, you can find a better line. And, you know, sometimes it, you know, getting that watching 5, 6, 7 minutes of the game and getting that little bit of extra research is kind of what you know. And then not only that, getting that extra research and getting a point, a half a point, 2-3 points better of a number, you know, in the long run, that's going to add up and have you in that, you know, that positive, that between the over 52.5% where you want to be.
No, exactly. So for Iona, it's plus 3,000.
Oh my gosh, 30-1 odds.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Alabama has so much talent, and they have a great coach.
Yeah, and they're hot.
Yeah, and Iona isn't there yet, but the panic factor. The only way I can see Iona wins is they slow it down in the first half, you know.
Where is that game?
In the second half, cold. Mm-hmm. And they start panicking, right? 10 minutes left, Iona's right there. Because Iona is a tough team as far as Hall of Fame coach, won multiple national championships. He has them ready from a physical and mental toughness standpoint.
And right? Also, Alabama's a very high three-point volume shooting team, you know, right. So a bad shooting night. And, I mean, that I don't know where that game's being played.
Yeah, that's a good thing to figure out. We'll do our research on that. Yeah, figure out where that game's being, because if it played on Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might
have a fighting chance.
Yeah, exactly.
The only time I won a game like that, that was like 20-1 odds, it was like plus 2,000. It's a game I should not have been on, and I'll never bet on again. But I put $100 on South Florida against Florida State 2006. And that was a year where BJ Daniels, South Florida Bulls, went into Tallahassee and beat Florida State. And we went on a run South Florida of every team that we went to and beat. There was a upper level Power Five. We beat Auburn. Next year, Bobby Bowden got fired. Or Florida State, Bobby Bowden got fired. In the next year, we beat Auburn and Auburn. And the head coach was Tuberville, who's now the senator from Alabama. he got fired because they're like, oh, you, how can you lose to USF? The alumni were like, how can you lose for USF? This guy has to be fired. But I've never been anything like that, and I wouldn't, because it's crazy. There's no way rationally Iona should win. But that's the line, right? And you never know. That Baltimore, right? Baltimore City College. Baltimore City College beat Virginia. The first and only 16 seed to beat a first seed. And this is a 15-2, right? Which has happened before. Not often, though. They're like, it's like 1 in 400. Last region. And thank you for your time, man. You've been on with us an hour. You've been training all day, getting yourself into an NFL camp.
Yep.
I appreciate your time. But hopefully, this is de-stressing. And this is a money making. We're making money here.
Yes, sir. We're collaborating. We're sharing information.
Exactly. Collaboration leading to innovation. What capitalism is all about. Illinois, Drexel. I'll go through the games and then we'll circle back.
Okay.
Illinois, Drexel, Loyola. There's a lot of good teams I like here, so I have to measure how much I like them versus reality, right? What's really going on? So you got Loyola, Chicago, Sister Jean against Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Oregon State. Now that's a game I'm all over, and I think the line was like plus 11, man. It was really, and I think maybe Oregon State can win this game outright, and it's a 5-12, right? That fits the profile.
Line 7.5 was what I got right now.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I got to see what I got. I got originally was good.
Mm-hmm.
Got bedded down. When people started doing the research, people hadn't seen Oregon State. They're the champions of the Pac-12 tournament. Oklahoma State. That, thank you. You turned me on to Oklahoma State, man. And they covered for me every single time.
They had a top 5 player.
And they got Liberty, though. Liberty has a lot of money. That Baptist University down there, Virginia, they have a lot of money. And they paid for a really good coach. And they got really nice facilities. Their team that made a run a couple years back made us money in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
The team we know and love, right, in the area, because I spent 6 years in San Diego. I got here before my wife got a job in Orange County. Big, but I've always been, as a kid, when my family moved from LA to San Diego, I remember as a kid watching Tony Gwynn as a point guard for San Diego State. So San Diego State against Syracuse, Boeheim. Boeheim always covers and wins a lot of games for us late. That zone, right? And they keep them fresh. All those guys on Syracuse are long, right? So that'll be interesting. West Virginia against our beloved Morehead State. I remember them when they covered for me against for Pitino when he was in Louisville back in the day. And it used to be Kraken. I guess now their meth hit guy was in line. I lost $29,000. Clemson, Rutgers. That's a game you flat out research, right?
Yeah, I like Rutgers a lot in that game. Clemson's kind of been a fade team for me most of the year.
Yeah.
I just really don't think they're that good. And then Rutgers has a legit point guard. He's a legit stud. So -2, it's basically a pick 'em. -2, don't take the points. But I think Rutgers' money line there is where I'm leaning pretty heavy right now.
Nice. I'm going to take your word for it, man. Some people got it, and some people don't get it, never will, man. Ben Nolan's got it. That's awesome.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we made a lot of money since the time you've been listening to the podcast. Yeah. And NFL, college basketball, Pac-12 basketball, we focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conference tournament, man, that's a lot of wins. Between you and I, that's a lot of wins, man. That's high 90%. Remember, most sports bettors are 20%.
Wow.
Vegas made $59 million off people.
It's insane.
Insane, right? So we're blessed to be able to do this well. And that parlays itself into having fun watching the games.
Yes, it does. And it allows us to spend our time and be making money with our time and not just wasting our time watching the game.
Exactly. Highest and best use of your time. Especially for guys, you're not there yet. Take your time. I'm married, right? So less times that I'm watching my wife binging a show like at least now she's doing Breaking Bad, which I can get into, The Walking Dead. But when it's Outlander, you watch it just to be able to relate. You know, she'll say, oh, yeah, I need the Bitcoin card because I'm going to get gas. Make sure you watch that game and then you're picking the one that's winning. Right? And she'll do that because she won so much. She hasn't spent a dime on gasoline that hasn't been betting dollars in 12 years.
Beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing. So Houston, Cleveland State.
Yeah, that's one we've talked about too. That's one that I've watched Cleveland State a lot this year, watched them throughout the regular season. That Horizon League, I actually spent quite a bit of time. That was one of my small conferences I probably was watched the most games in. Wright State was the best team in that conference. You know, Wright State, you know, should have won that conference. They got upset in the first round, which kind of gave Cleveland State an easy road. They never really had to play anyone good. You know, there was a ton of upsets. They had to play Purdue, Fort Wayne, and then, gosh, who'd they play in that championship game? Like, small score.
I think, yeah, I remember you talking about that game.
But basically, you know, Cleveland State, they're a good group of guys. They play hard. They're a good group. But, you know, they just talent-wise, you know, they got a bunch of JUCO transfers, you know, guys that were overlooked coming out of high school, you know, so they got to play with a chip on their shoulder. But, I mean, when you're going up to a team like Houston, I mean, we saw what Houston did to Cincinnati, and Cleveland State is nowhere near the same, even close to Cincinnati talent-wise. You know, they can maybe try to slow that game down with a 20-point line, but, I mean, the way Houston scored the ball they got multiple guys. They got a good big man. I mean, Grimes looked like Klay Thompson with his stroke is pure. He can score it. I just think Houston is they got to be the play with. They're coming in, they're peaking right, and Cleveland State just, you know, that Horizon League isn't anything special, and they're not even the best team in that conference. You know, Wright State got upset early. They had an easy road. You know, I think they won like a triple overtime game, you know, to a middle of the pack team in the Horizon League to advance to the semis. And they might have covered a little bit. They always had small lines throughout the whole time. But yeah, I mean,
right.
I messaged you early on. I said, put that in our notes. Cleveland State's going to be a fade team. And the fact that they're matched up against Houston and, you know, 20 points. And after what we saw Houston do to Cincinnati, Houston, I'm on Houston pretty heavy there.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Houston is going to have a real suffocating defense. So they're going to get a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop doing that because that's the way they feel they're going to get to the Final Four. And that's the way they feel they're going to win tight games to get to the Final Four. It's with their defense.
Yeah, and Cleveland State does not have a ball dominant guard that can break a press. Sometimes those teams that have a guy that can single handedly break the press on his own, you know, that's a game changer for that team. You know, and they don't have a guy that can do that. And with Houston, if they press and get up on them with their length, it's going to be tough. Like I agree with that. A lot of steals, fast breaks. It's going to be tough for Cleveland to compete in that full court game with it giving up just length and athleticism.
Nice, nice. So what we'll do is on our Twitter handles. Mine is at Josue Vizcay, V-I-Z-C-A-Y. What I'll do is I'll have all our picks on there. Each day, we'll start with the NIT tomorrow with the picks, and no need for anybody to pay for picks, but listen to the podcast and listen to the whys and to the business and financial part of it. So you can add it on to your businesses, have a solid 401k, or when you buy a house, know the strategy, know the system, right? Because freedom is not free. And if we don't take care of capitalism, it's not a given, right? So we give you business and financial concepts, but we show you right away, right? We give you immediate results, tangible for free. You're getting tangible business information you can monetize right away. And great that we live in the greatest country in the world and we have the technology that we're able to communicate that information, man. So we'll give Shannon final words before we give him Winston Churchill. So no need to pay Action Sports $300 for picks for the NCAA or $1,000 or whatever I've been seeing out there, man. A lot of money people charging for picks. You don't need that. You get better information, higher percentage picks for free than what you get paid for from us. So before we get Winston Churchill, final words from Shannon. Yeah.
I think the why is so important. You know, that's how you can tell the level of sports better. When they say, man, I like this team plus or minus this, or I like this over and under, and you ask them why, right, that is going to show you, you know, you hear us talk about our why, the where they're playing, the teams, the styles, all these things. The more you can elaborate and articulate your why, I think the stronger bet you have. And when your why is, oh, I like the team more, I think they're going to win, you know, you're not analyzing, you're not researching. I think, you know, how important your why, and when you're buying picks, you're not knowing the why, which is knowledge of how to do this. You know, it's not, you know, you got to learn, you know, I tell this, you know, like as a professional athlete, you know, as I train kids on the side, you know, I tell all the kids this, you know, is you need to learn everything I'm teaching you. Like you're a coach, a performance coach. Because there's going to be times in your career where you're not going to have access to a top level coach, and you're going to be on your own, and you can only do as much as you know. At that point, you are the coach for yourself, the athlete. So I think, you know, that applies to this in the same manner. As, you know, you buying picks doesn't do anything for you. Even if they're successful picks, you don't know what's going on. You're at the complete risk of someone else. It's like, you know, giving your money to a hedge fund or stock, a mutual fund, and you're just letting someone else invest your money. And if something goes wrong or something goes right, you don't have any control. You don't know what stocks are investing in. You don't know who owns the companies, what's going on with these companies. You don't know. It's interesting. And, you know, buying picks from someone is just putting your face blindly in someone else. And I think, you know, we, the more you learn and the research and the more you have a stronger why is how you find your plays and your spots. You know, the why, it'll come to you make sure you have that answer. If you want to bet on something, what's your why? And the stronger that why is how you find the plays you want to bet on. And I think that's what I'll finish with.
Your man, you crushed it, man. The why drives the what. And we always finish with Winston Churchill. You make a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ESPC Podcast Network. Let me stop it.
That's why this one goes cost $800, and that goes $200. And I don't know what that cost. I'd be ashamed to work. That's why I.